This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Happy heathens, all you unabashed atheists and agnostics out there, you state church separatists and secularists, and a warm welcome to everyone else tuning in to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, the friendly neighborhood atheist, former minister who saw the light. This show, Free Thought Radio, is a production of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. Not freedom of, like a lot of people mistakenly think we are, freedom from, because we think our Constitution is free from religion. Our government should be free from religion. And most of our members, I just checked this week and we're over 12,200 members. Most of them are free from religion, atheists and agnostics, secularists, pagans, whatever they call themselves. We all disbelieve in the same God. And sometimes people criticize us. We get letters and emails from people saying, how come you only pick on Christianity? How come you're only picking on Christians? You just have something against Christianity. Well, mainly because in this country, it's the Christians who are causing the problems that we have to go to court over. If we were in another country, if we were in Baghdad or some other country, we'd be picking on other religions. Well, here's a little joke.
They'd be picking on us.
Well, okay. Whatever. The infidels and the heretics and the believers switch places depending on what country you're in. My dad is a member of a Native American tribe. The Native Americans were Christianized, of course. And then
which tribe, Dan?
The Delaware tribe, which we call ourselves the Lenni Lenape. And our tribe was Christianized in the 1830s by Mennonites and Baptists. But there's still some tradition. Granddad still has some tradition of old songs of the Great Spirit. So let me pick on Native American. There was this witch doctor or shaman. How do you say it? Shaman who communicated with the Great Spirit and was a religious leader of the tribe. And to help him communicate, he smoked this pipe with some weed in it, some herb that made it actually brought him much, much closer to God. And his little brother said, I want to be a shaman too. I want to be a witch doctor too. And the big brother said, I don't know if you're ready for this. Why don't you try just a little bit of this in the pipe? So the little brother smoked it, and the witch doctor said, so are you feeling anything? He said, no, I'm not feeling anything. So he took the pipe and he put like a regular amount in and he lit it. He says, now try this, smoke the pipe now, see if you get closer with the Great Spirit. So he smoked it and he said, are you feeling anything? And the little brother said, no, I'm not feeling anything. He said, well, give me that pipe. So he stuffed it really, really full. He lit the thing and he said, now inhale deeply, breathe deeply, and you'll get in touch with the Great Spirit. So the little brother does for about a minute, and then the witch doctor says, are you feeling anything? The little brother says, no, I'm not feeling anything. I'm not feeling my arms. I'm not feeling my legs.
So, Dan, you adapted that joke from something they told you in Brazil, right?
Yeah, it was a parrot in Brazil. I made it my own.
Now, you may have caught the positive news this week. There was an extensive study by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. They call it the U.S. Religious Landscape Survey, finding that a quarter of adult Americans have left the faith they were raised in favor of another religion or no religion at all.
And that study showed that about 20% of Americans have either...
28%.
28%. Who wrote this? 28, you wrote it right. 28% of Americans have either switched religious affiliation or they've dropped any connection altogether with religion. And this survey finds that 16% of Americans say we are not affiliated with any particular religion. And among younger Americans, those that are between age 18 and 29, 1 in 4 say they are not currently affiliated with religion. So later in today's show, we're going to be talking with Gregory Smith. He's one of the authors of this survey about the results. The survey shows that the U.S. is about to lose its status as a majority Protestant nation. Non-denominational churches are gaining members. 25% of adults leave the faith of their upbringing, And there is a dropping confidence in organized religion. The largest religious traditions right now are Protestant evangelicals at 26%, Catholics at 24%, mainline Protestants at 18%, and the unaffiliated at 16%.
So we'll be talking in more detail about this growing tendency of Americans to kick their faith, as well as some of the other specific findings in this survey, such as that large numbers of people are leaving the Catholic Church. One-third of the respondents, and this was a survey of 35,000 people, one-third of those were Catholic who have left the Catholic Church, and yet the Catholic Church holds steady at about a quarter of the population, and that is due, it turns out, to the disproportionately high number of Catholic immigrants.
How many of those were former altar boys who left?
Or their families, yeah. And one reason why the Catholic Church in this country is so involved, I think, in the immigration services is because it's a fresh pool of Catholics who are still going to church. And often these immigration services are paid for by tax dollars, but that's another issue. So later in the show, we'll explore some of these developments with the author of the Pew survey.
And a heads up for next week's show, we're going to be talking with Professor Richard Dawkins, the author of the blockbuster bestseller book, The God Delusion.
And it's been more than a year since we spoke with Richard Dawkins on Free Thought Radio. He is coming to the United States to campaign for free thought and atheism. And this is partly after seeing the degree to which religion has dominated the presidential race. So he wants to bring enlightenment to our land, and that's very nice of him. So tune in next week to hear what life's been like for this eminent evolutionary biologist since he became the articulate global spokesperson for atheism.
And some really cute, nice news to announce. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, you know, we're located in Madison, Wisconsin, and this show originates from Madison. Last week, the billboard that was designed for us by Adams Outdoor Company here in Madison, Wisconsin, that billboard won an Addy Award for design.
And it deserved it. It's very pretty, very original. We gave suggested wording. One of the suggested slogans was "Beware of Dogma." And Adams Outdoor, the graphic artist, John, I think is his name, took that and put it against a stained glass window. And then it carries the Freedom From Religion Foundation name in our website, ffrf.org.
And it was up, a big 48-foot billboard. It was up for a couple of weeks in October, right
in,
on the
in
belt.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
Right on the highway.
It's gone up in other places. Been in Atlanta. It's currently in Columbus, Ohio. We have a version of it saying, "Imagine a religion," with the stained glass motif in Pennsylvania that we talked about in an earlier show that's had a big reaction from the locals in rural Pennsylvania. In fact, a billboard has been put up saying, "Why do atheists hate America?" in reaction to our billboard. And we got an interesting call from someone in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, who was very upset about that attack.
Yeah, this is Alex Reed from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. I just caught your episode with Joe from Chambersburg in regards to the billboard. And I just sat here at work, and I'm so angry at why do atheists hate America? I'm an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran, and I'm an atheist. And I love my country very much, and I have done things for my country that other people may have not. It just infuriates me.
Well, it's nice to get that phone call from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And speaking of the wording that won the Addy Award, "Beware of Dogma," which is a play on words, of course, Dan, why beware of dogma?
Well, dogma is the opposite of thinking. Dogma tells you what to think, not how to think. And, of course, with dogma, look at the harm that has been done in the name of religion through history by people simply following orders, doing what the Bible says or what the church says. Dogma turns off a thinking mind, where free thought allows us to make our own decisions.
This is Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio on Air America. In honor of Women's History Month, which begins today, we'll be right back to talk about the contributions to women freethinkers to women's history. And we'll also be talking with Greg Smith, co-author of this notable study released this week on the changing religious landscape in the United States, changing to a less religious landscape, which is good news for free thought.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021.
No gods, no masters, no popes, no pastors. Think for yourself. No more dictators. Resist those woman haters and decide for yourself. No gods, no masters.
That was Margaret Sanger's motto on her Woman's Rebel newsletter, the feminist woman who brought birth control. I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. And No Gods, No Masters is a subtitle of your book about women, Annie Laurie.
Mm-hmm.
You picked it because of Margaret Sanger. Later in today's show, we're going to be talking with one of the authors of the notable survey by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, showing that unaffiliated with church are about 16%, the fourth largest group of religious identification in the U.S., rivaling the number of members in mainline Protestant churches. But before we get to that, let's pay homage to Women's History Month.
Because where would women's history be without the women freethinkers who were the first to agitate for reform and to demand women's rights?
And in the book that you edited, this anthology, Annie Laurie, that we published, Freedom from Religion Foundation published it, it's called Women Without Superstition, subtitled No Gods, No Masters, the Collected Writings of Women Freethinkers of the 19th and 20th Century. The book actually ended up tracing the movers and shakers, just not of the free thought movement, not only free thought, but also the women's movement in the United States. Is there a connection between the free thought movement and the women's movement?
Well, the connection is that the earliest main agitators for women's rights were all unorthodox, and most of them were free thinking. For example, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who called the first women's rights convention ever anywhere in the world that met at Seneca Falls in 1848, and was the woman who wrote the 19th Amendment that was finally adopted years after her death in 1920, the suffrage amendment. Those words were written by her, and she was the main fomenter of the women's movement. She was really the writer of the speeches.
She and
Susan B. Anthony worked together as a team. But yes, she was called herself a serene agnostic, likewise with Susan B. Anthony. And the early people who started the women's movement were almost all largely atheist or agnostic. And that there was a reason for that. It wasn't a coincidence. And that reason was the Bible, that those who were believers who followed the Bible would be totally in silence and subjection.
And some of the early religious women leaders also were very heretical, the Quakers.
They were the unorthodox. You either had a few Quakers in there or you had people who were not affiliated with religion at all.
So you said the Bible. Why was the Bible a problem with?
Well, if you, the first book, the first Genesis says that women are created from Adam's rib. They're inferior, that they're cursed. Maternity is a sin. Marriage is a bondage. He shall rule over thee. And if you skip to the New Testament, you have injunction after injunction telling women that they have to shut up, that they are inferior, that they are ruled by their husbands, for example. There's so many of them, but that women have to submit, they have to be in silence. If they're to learn anything, it is from their husband only. And so that was really the rule of, that was how people acted in the 19th century. That was the rule of our country, de facto rule of the country.
So the nation's laws were based to a large degree on the Bible.
Well, it was just that women couldn't speak out. For example, in Women Without Superstition, I talk about Frances Wright, who was the first woman to speak publicly before what they called promiscuous assemblies, which meant men and women. That was 1848. Consider how late into human history it was that a woman publicly addressed a mixed audience, I mean, in the Western civilization. And she was hounded by the clergy everywhere she went. They defamed her. They turned the gas lights off. They attacked her. She was the red harlot of infidelity because she dared to speak publicly. And she was speaking about the need to think for yourself and to educate women.
Because the Bible says she should stay home and learn from her husband.
Right. And Elizabeth Cady Stanton said the Bible was hurled at us from every side. They couldn't go out. They couldn't. The early women's rights movements were heckled by ministers. A mob, sometimes 700 seminary students, would come into these open meetings and and heckle so badly that they would bring them to a halt.
They were called Jezebels. And
so I think that people don't realize that history. And it really, the suffrage movements within the states were also often led by the women free thinkers. They really had to be very free thinking in order to speak out and in order to endure that kind of obloquy. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
And
How many women are in your book?
Well, there are 50 women featured, and with a bio and a photo, and then their writings, and then there's other women in there. And they really are, you know, Margaret Sanger, who changed the world for women,
yeah.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony, so many brave feminist names were also freethinkers.
I noticed you were reading from our non-tract, some of the Bible verses.
Yeah, we have a little non-tract. We'd be glad to send it to someone, Why Women Need Freedom from Religion, and it's got about... samples of the many Bible verses that are sexist or call for women's subjection.
Well, happy Women's History Month. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We've been talking about the contributions of women skeptics and unbelievers to the women's movement because March has finally arrived.
Yay.
In March.
Yes, winter is almost over.
Coming up on part two, an interview with one of the main authors of the study released by Pew showing that the unaffiliated are the fourth largest sector by religious or non-religious affiliation in the United States.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters."
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome back to the second half of Free Thought Radio.
We have on the phone with us Gregory A. Smith, a research fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. Gregory Smith holds a PhD in government from the University of Virginia, where his doctoral research focused on the role of priests in Catholic politics. His dissertation, Political Parishes, The Influence of Priests on the Voting Behavior and Political Attitudes of American Catholics, won the 2006 Aaron Wildofsky Award, which is given by the American Political Science Association for the best dissertation in religion and politics. Previously, Greg Smith was a fellow at the University of Virginia Center on Religion and Democracy, and his work has appeared in the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion. He is currently completing a book about Catholic politics.
Gregory Smith was an author of the major survey of 35,000 Americans that was released this week by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. It's called the U.S. Religious Landscape Survey. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
35,000, that's quite definitive then, isn't it?
Well, it's very large. It's much larger than your typical survey, and there's really two reasons for that. We wanted to talk to a lot of people first because doing so allows us to really come up with precise estimates of the size of all the various religious groups in the United States. That's one reason. The second reason, perhaps the even more important reason, is that by having such a large sample, by having so many interviews, it guarantees that we have lots of interviews, hundreds of interviews, with members of even the smallest religious groups in the population. In fact, what this large sample size allows us to do is talk in meaningful ways about the characteristics and the views and the experiences, even of those religious groups that are as small as 0.3% of the population, which really makes this survey unique, I think.
Did you have surprises? I mean, were you surprised by the results? I mean, notably that the non-religious are growing so fast and so many people are church hopping or leaving religion altogether.
Well, I think you've pointed to one of the most striking findings, and that does have to do with the number of people who say that they have changed their religious affiliation between childhood and adulthood. We asked people a detailed series of questions, both about their current affiliation, and then we also asked them parallel questions about their childhood religion. And what we find, if you compare those two responses, is that more than 4 in 10 Americans have changed religious affiliation between childhood and adulthood.
And I couldn't quite tell in looking at the survey what the percentage was who were leaving religion altogether.
Right. Well, what we find is that the unaffiliated population is the biggest net gainer in this process of religious change that's so common. About 16% of the public says that they're unaffiliated with any particular religion today. That's more than twice as many who say they were raised unaffiliated. But what that masks is that this religious movement in the United States is multidirectional. No group is simply gaining members, and no group is simply losing members. Rather, every group, including the unaffiliated, is both gaining and losing members. If you just look at the overall numbers, we find that nearly 13% of Americans were raised in one religion or another and are today unaffiliated with any particular religious group.
So we are a melting pot in many ways.
No question about it. It's a very diverse country. People have a lot of choices when it comes to religion, and this frequency of movement, the level at which people say that they've changed affiliation indicates that people are willing to exercise those choices and options.
But don't you think it's meaningful that your survey found that 1 in 4 young Americans between the ages of 18 and 29 say they are not currently affiliated with religion? Because this is the up-and-coming generation.
Right. I think that is noteworthy. You're correct to point out that young people more than other age groups are more likely to be unaffiliated with any particular religion. I'd make two points about that. One is that one of the things that we'll have to wait and see is whether or not that circumstance continues. In other words, will these young people wind up joining a religion as they age, or will they remain unaffiliated as they age? I think that's an open question. The other thing I should point out is that it wouldn't be accurate to think of this large unaffiliated population, 16% of the public as a whole, as simply secular. In fact, it's quite diverse. It consists of atheists and agnostics, but it also consists of people who say that I have no particular religion. And among those people, we find lots saying that religion is somewhat important in their lives, at least somewhat important in their lives.
Well, so I'm looking at this index that you published, and it shows that 12% say nothing in particular, and about half of those, say they might be religious, but they're unaffiliated.
That's exactly right. We find that
slightly more than half are secular.
More than half of the nothing in particular. About a third, a little more than a third of the unaffiliated population overall consists of people who say they have no particular religion, but that religion is nonetheless very important or somewhat important in their own lives.
Now, I was surprised at the tiny percentage of Unitarians that your survey found, 0.7%.
Right, that's right. We found one of the things that's great about this survey is it does allow us to estimate the size of even the smaller groups, and we found about a little less than 1% volunteering themselves as Unitarians.
You probably remember the ARIS survey that came out in 2001.
Yes, of course.
It after 11 years showed growth in and shrinkage in different groups.
Right.
And some of the authors of that survey said then that they thought it's possible that whatever it was that happened in Europe after centuries of religious divisiveness and religious heritage to where most Europeans today are pretty much secular, whatever it was that happened there might be starting to happen here in the United States. Do you think they were onto something with that?
Well, it's hard to say. I think that only time will tell. What we do know, it's certainly right to point out that there has been this growth in the size of the unaffiliated population. But it's also important to keep two things in mind. One is, as we just were mentioning, lots of people among this unaffiliated group are not secular. They are, in fact, religious. They are, in fact, at least spiritually oriented. It's also important to keep in mind that the overwhelming majority of Americans are affiliated with one religion or another.
Well, they say they're affiliated, but when you actually count heads in churches, most of them are not going to church. It's well over, 50%, if not greater than that, who are really unchurched. So they may consider themselves religious, but they're not really affiliated with a church.
Well, one of the points that we'll be able to make in greater detail when we get into our subsequent reports, this is just the first of three that's going to come from this survey. In the subsequent reports, we're going to look at people's religious beliefs and behaviors, and you're right to point out that one of the things that will become clear there is that just like a large portion of the unaffiliated are in fact religious or spiritually inclined, it's also true that lots of members of religious traditions may turn out to be only nominally religious themselves. You're right to point out our surveys typically find that about 4 in 10 Americans go to church, say they go to church.
So that's really a minority.
That's certainly a minority.
They go regularly.
And then they're also self-reporting, so they may go like to Christmas and Easter and never again.
That's true. That's true. And there, but it's also important to keep in mind, though, that there are lots of other ways of being religious. But there's no question that there are people who will identify themselves as belonging to one religious group or another who in practice are not particularly religious themselves.
I had a question about the finding that was referred to in the media, but I just didn't see it in your study, that there's a drop in confidence in organized religion. Was that a conclusion that you drew, or was that media?
No, that must have been a conclusion that that others have drawn. That wouldn't be a conclusion that we'd have drawn from this.
And you did also have an interesting finding about Catholicism.
Yes, again, this relates to change over time. Although there's a lot that's really interesting about Catholicism to take note of. First of all, Catholics, more than any other group, have lost members in this process of religious change. About a third of adults in the U.S. today say that they were raised Catholic, but only about a quarter of adults are currently describe themselves as Catholic. Overall, about 10% of the population was raised Catholic, but is no longer Catholic. So Catholics have lost members in total as in this process of religious change, but there's this paradox. At the same time, the proportion of Catholics, the proportion of the public that is Catholic, has been very steady over the last few decades at about 25%.
Well, immigration then, right?
That's the key. How can this be the case? Immigration. Immigrants to the United States are disproportionately Catholic. In fact, about half of all immigrants, nearly half of all immigrants, are Catholic. That's more than twice the rate we see among the native-born population, and that's really the key to understanding how the Catholic numbers have stayed so steady despite these losses through religious change.
And your study did seem to show continuing losses for the more liberal mainstream Protestants compared to fundamentalists, is that right?
Well,
or evangelical?
Right. Our survey shows that within Protestantism, evangelicals account for roughly half of all Protestants, and evangelicals, members of evangelical churches, constitute the largest religious tradition in the United States. Members of mainline churches are much smaller in number. A little less than 1 in 5 Americans belong to mainline churches. Other evidence, based on other surveys, including the General Social Survey, suggests, and we refer to this in the report, that the decline of Protestantism that we've seen take place over the last couple of decades is mostly concentrated within mainline Protestantism as opposed to evangelicalism.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Greg Smith. And how can people find out more?
Pewforum.org.
Thank you very much, Greg Smith, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we were talking with Greg Smith about the Pew Forum on U.S. religious landscape.
And Free Thought Radio will be right back.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. Beware of dogma.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and we were talking with the author of a major study released this week by Pew Forum on religion and public life, finding that the religiously unaffiliated in America is now the fourth largest sector in the United States, rivaling Protestants, and that a quarter of adult Americans have left the faith they were raised in, and many of them are leaving faith altogether. And Dan, you can certainly identify with all of this, can't you?
Well, having been raised as an evangelical, born-again, Bible-believing, fundamentalist Christian, and then becoming an atheist, I guess I qualify. But you, too, you left the faith of your childhood. You were raised.
How so?
You were born into an agnostic family, and you converted to atheism.
Well, okay. Not so radical, but you know, Yeah, Bertrand Russell always liked to use the term agnostic, and so I grew up admiring him. But then I realized you can be both,
an atheist and agnostic. Woody Allen said he had a mixed marriage. She was agnostic, he was atheist.
So, and you've written a book, Losing Faith in Faith, about your journey out of religion. And you also have written a lot of music because you used to be a religious songwriter and composer and all that.
I wrote a song that expressed how I felt. A lot of our members who used to be religious and became atheists have this kind of feeling of relief because you're not losing anything. It's like losing a drug addiction. You're actually gaining your life back.
So let's listen to Life is Good to celebrate the many, many Americans who are leaving religion in high numbers.
This song is for those people who were raised with religion, who had quite a struggle breaking free, who have learned that life as an unbeliever is unbelievably good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is unbelievably good. The superstitious monkey is off my back. I'm thinking for myself and I am back on track. And I can tell you, life is good. They used to tell me that I was condemned to be punished for eternity. But not to be sad, I should be glad because Jesus has set me free. Then I started thinking, pardon me, but something here is terribly wrong. It makes me happier to learn that I don't need to be forgiven. I was innocent all along. Life is good. Life is good. Life is unbelievably good. The superstitious monkey is off of my back. I'm thinking for myself and I am back on track. And I can tell you, life is good. How can I be free if I must die to myself to be a slave to a dictator's will? How can I be happy if I think that my friends and my loved ones will end up in hell? How can I be glad when I am always afraid that I haven't measured up like I should? The day that I abandoned all of the above is when I truly learned that life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is unbelievably good. The superstitious monkey is off of my back. I'm thinking for myself and I am back on track. And I can tell you, life is good. Giving up religion was a real smart move, from the ridiculous to the sublime. Living a life of learning and love and laughter is certainly no crime. What a great feeling to be finally free, not needing a master or lord. Every breath that I breathe belongs to me, and life is its own reward. Life is good. Life is good. Life is unbeatable. Monkey is off of my back. I'm thinking for myself and I am back on track. And I can tell you, oh, let me tell you, I will tell you that life is good. Isn't life good?
That was Dan Barker. Can't quite take the gospel out of the former believer. You should have had a gospel choir there, Dan.
You can take the believer out of the gospel, but not the gospel out of the believer.
Singing about life is good, life without God, a song featured on the CD Friendly Neighborhood Atheist, available from ffrf.org.
Past shows are archived and available for podcasting at ffrf.org/radio. And you can call our talkback number to be on this show, 608-204-0422. That's 608-204-0422.
Ask for a complimentary copy of the March issue of Free Thought Today. That's the Foundation's newspaper at ffrf.org. There's a great speech in it by Katha Pollitt, a column by Barbara G. Walker, a write-up on the War of the Billboards that we talked about, the reaction in this small Pennsylvania town to FFRF's Imaginal Religion Billboard, and lots more to inform and entertain you. So ask for a copy at ffrf.org. We thank Greg Smith of the Pew Forum for joining us today and you for listening.